Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. So glad you've tuned in. You're going to be rewarded today. We've got Pastor Justin Dosh from Grace Church. This is a fantastic church that you're going to want to learn more about, lean in. This church is in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. Fantastic part of the world. And Dosh is the family pastor there, which I'm so excited to have Justin with us on the show. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Glad to be here, man. Excited about it.
Yeah, I love what's going on in your church. Fan from afar. It's a fun thing happening at Grace Community. You're one of the fastest growing churches in the country, and we'd love to kind of learn more about that today. Why don't you give us a sense? If people were to arrive this weekend at Grace, what would they experience? What would they, you know, what would they receive when they get there? And give me a sense of your role, that kind of thing.
Sure, absolutely. You know, Grace is definitely, consider us a very modern church. When you walk into our building, it doesn't feel like a church. We actually built the building with the intention of, we want this to look like a community center that happens mm-hmm. to have services on the weekend. And oh, really cool. What we believe is, we believe that in order to reach, you know, a large clientele and demographic of people that are in our community today, there's a stigma about church. And mm-hmm. we sort of want to break down some of those barriers, mm-hmm. Even just aesthetically right from the beginning. And so, you know, you're not going to see stained glass windows and, you know, all the traditional type things you see. Again, not that there's anything wrong with that, but we're really trying to target a very specific demographic of people. And that's people who are either unchurched mm-hmm. or people who have been burned by church at some point mm-hmm. in their past experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, they grew up in an environment where they felt, you know, just overly judged and critical, or they grew up in a very legalistic environment, whatever the case might have been, whatever their background might have been. And we're in the Northeast here. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very heavy Catholic background. And so we get a lot of people that come from a Catholic background and they walk into our building for the first time and they're just kind of blown away by, wow, this is church,
right?
This doesn't look like or feel like church to me. And so, you know, just even aesthetically, but I think more importantly than that, when somebody walks into our building for the first time and they experience sort of our weekend environments and services, mm-hmm. I think the two big things that are going to stand out is, number one, we are very heavy on the side of grace, which mm-hmm. is why we're called Grace Community Church. we really believe that the only thing that we truly have to offer people is the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we put that at the forefront of everything that we do. We believe in the church should be a place where we can sort of take the mask off mm-hmm. and be real with each other and authentic, recognizing that none of us, including the pastors that are going to stand on the stage, have it all together. Mm-hmm. We all fall short and we all desperately need Jesus. And so I think that is something that will come across in waves as you begin to get adjusted to the Grace culture. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the second big thing is we are about reaching people with mm-hmm. the good news of the gospel. That's mm-hmm. our mission statement. It's to honor God by reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ and teaching them to become fully devoted followers of Him. And I think if you went around to most churches, they would probably say something along those lines.
Yep.
But we take it to the level of, you know, I believe it might've been Craig Groeschel that said it 15, 20 years ago, but we'll do anything short of sin to mm-hmm. reach people mm-hmm. with the gospel. And we do take that to heart. We try to be very creative in that. We try to be a place that's culturally relevant and really stays in touch with what's happening in our community and, mm-hmm. and how people are responding to various messages. You know, mm-hmm. The reality is that the message really doesn't change, right? Again, we hear this a lot. The gospel doesn't change. It's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, but the mm-hmm. methods, mm-hmm. they do have to change. And so we try to stay on the forefront of that and be really cognizant of that. And so we do change a lot of things.
Yeah.
We change a lot. So,
well, that's great. That's actually what I'd love to dig into because I think a lot of churches say that they, you know, they'll talk about like, hey, we're trying to reach people. We're trying to reach people far from God. You know, I think any church that is cognizant of what the New Testament says probably is saying the same thing.
Correct.
But your church is actually operationalizing that. You're actually doing things. So I wonder if we could kind of spend some time talking about what would be some of those things that you feel like, you know, that you're actually doing as a church that are actually living that mission out or actually making that work in your community.
Absolutely. I think number one, first and foremost, is that we are caring for people. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody comes through our doors, you know, whether it's, you know, their first time or whether they've been coming to Grace for 10 years, mm-hmm. something that's very important to us is to be able to actually care both physically, spiritually, emotionally for people. And so we actually do have a counseling, we have a full-time counselor at Grace. Mm. We have various levels of care from through our small groups and one-on-one type care with volunteers. Mm. But to me, so much of, I think, the reason that many people have gotten burned by the church is because they believe and they feel like the church is not really a safe place that it's a place where we almost like we devour each other. It's like if we've done something wrong, right. if we've messed up, like it's this immediate finger pointing. And the reality is, yes, we want people to turn from their sin and we want people to grow and get better, right? But at the same time, we also recognize that we all need a certain level of care at various points in our you know, spiritual journey. And I think when people begin to truly feel that sense that we care about them and we love them, and we just want them to get better the same way that Jesus wants them to get better, that really breaks down a lot of barriers. And it makes people who were uncomfortable in church before very comfortable in our church.
Yeah. How do you communicate that at scale? How are you kind of doing that? Cause you know, large church, a lot of people, how are you able to both communicate that and then actually do that? One example, I hear the counselor, but what are there other things you're doing to kind of communicate like, hey, you can be a kind of a normal person and arrive here. We're glad you're here.
Yep. I mean, it really, to me, a lot of it comes down to just language and consistency and clarity. So we are always proclaiming from the stage, from the top of the leadership. Our senior pastor, you know, communicates that to his team, our executive team, who takes that out to our directors, and we communicate it to them. But it's a constant, you know, we have to consistently communicate with clarity, I think, is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And so we're always on the stage saying, hey, this is a hospital for hurting people here. Mm-hmm. This is a place where you can belong before you believe. Mm-hmm. This is a place where, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what your challenges are, that it's safe and it's a place where we're going to work on our stuff with Jesus together. Mm-hmm. And that just, I mean, that comes across almost every week in some way, shape, or form. Every year we do a series on our core beliefs. Mm-hmm. You know, we have six core beliefs. Okay. One of those huge tenets and core beliefs is being real and authentic. Mm. That's a part of who we are. That's part of our DNA. And so again, that's just coming across on a regular basis. And then there has to be action with that. Mm-hmm. So you can get up and say it all you want, mm-hmm. but if our people, and you know, when I talk about our people, I'm talking about our core. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the core who are totally bought in, mm-hmm. and they understand the mission, the vision of what we're trying to accomplish. And then mm-hmm. you've got a whole group of people over here who are either just coming in, they're relatively new, they still haven't fully bought in. Those core people, though, they have to understand that mission and vision because they're the ones that are really, truly carrying it out into the lobby, into our cafe, into our kids ministry, into our parking lot. And they're that first line of, hey, no matter what this person looks like, no matter what they're struggling with, care for them. Even if it's just you're parking their car, opening a door for them. And so to me, again, that communication with consistency and clarity is the key to the whole thing.
Right. Very cool.
It's not programmatic. I think that's a really important
thing. Right.
And I think a lot of times we want to make things programmatic. Like in the church, I feel like we want to overcomplicate things. When I look at the ministry of Christ, I don't see anything complicated about it. He loved people and he cared for people. And then he told them the straight up truth. And sometimes that truth was hard, but because he loved them first and he cared for them first, they were ready to listen and they were ready to respond to that. And I think it's the same way when we interact with people, you love them and you care for them first so that you earn the right to be able to speak the truth to them. And then that is when life change begins to happen.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
That's good stuff. Now, I love the Craig Rochelle quote, we're, you know, willing to do anything short of sin to reach people. Are there things your church has done? I understand I'm not necessarily driving to programmatic stuff, but things that that feel like maybe it's close to that line, but didn't step over, things that actually might, you know, be like, hey, here's an example of things we've done to try to reach out to folks who don't follow Jesus yet.
Yeah, absolutely. We started something about 3 years ago. I think this will be our fourth year this fall, called Fall Frenzy. Mm-hmm. And what Fall Frenzy is it's basically a fall festival on steroids. And how it started is that most churches do trunk or treat as sort of like a Halloween alternative. Yep. And we had done that for many years, just like many other churches do. And we got to the point where we just felt like it had become very stale. Mm. It had become ineffective. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, basically, except for, you know, they're coming to a parking lot and getting it out of, you know, trunks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we went to the back to the drawing board and we said, let's throw this whole thing out and mm-hmm. let's just dream about what maybe this could be. Mm-hmm. And it began to, this all happened probably the very first time within about 8 weeks of us pulling this event off. And so mm-hmm. it was just one of those things where the snowball got going and it couldn't, once it started, there was nothing that could stop it. And there was so much excitement and buzz around it. And so basically what we have is we have this festival. Mm-hmm. It's totally free to the community. They don't have to pay anything.
Right.
We have food trucks come in. We have a huge carnival area where kids can play games and they can get candy there. Mm-hmm. We have an area that we call the Highland Games where they can, you know, toss capers and hay bales and,
fun.
You know, launch apples and just all kinds. There's a big obstacle course they go through. We have inflatables. And then the main attraction is we do these theme rooms inside the church mm-hmm. and we do this full blown, in the past we've done this full blown Star Wars experience where kids get trained like Jedis.
And, oh, fun.
And I mean, we really go all out. Everybody's mm-hmm. dressed in costumes. Hmm. When people are coming up the driveway for the first time, we have people in costumes with signs out there, just mm-hmm. like celebrating that they're there, jumping up and down, just making a big deal about them. You know, they get a little goodie bag for their candy when they come in, and we really just go above the way that we look at it is we want to go above and beyond expectation. When people come onto our campus for this event, we want them to walk away going, I cannot believe this was a free event and how amazing it was.
Right. Absolutely.
And we've heard things like, you know, we hear things like, I can't believe that this was free. Most of the time the church is just trying to take my money. This is from somebody who isn't connected to the church, and that's been their experience. And now they've come onto our campus and they're going, wait, this is very different
from what
I've experienced before and what I've expected. We've had so many people say, wow, I can't believe this is a church. I'm coming back here to check this out and to find out what's going on. And there's not there's not an overly, you know, aggressive push to proselytize or mm-hmm. try to reach someone for Christ in that moment. What mm-hmm. we believe is if we care for them, mm-hmm. we go above and beyond expectation. We show them that we are just a bunch of normal people who mm-hmm. like to have fun and we love Jesus. And we do, you know, we invite them to come back to come to church. It's not like we don't do anything to try to encourage them to bring their children back, you know, because mm-hmm. it is a huge kids event.
Yeah,
really geared towards the kids, but it's
right.
So, and what we found is that there are a lot of people who end up coming to Grace
right.
through this event.
They would say that's their opening, that's their first door, that's their kind of first connection with the church.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, what is that? Do you do any kind of handout or any kind of, obviously the fact that it's on your campus is a part of, there's almost an implicit kind of advertisement
exactly.
for that. But are there other kind of strategic things you're doing at an event like that to try to draw people in?
Yeah, I mean, we use social media a lot, so to draw them to the event, that's our primary marketing tool.
Yep.
Now that it's been going for 3 years, and this is really how Grace Community Church has grown in general, mm-hmm. it's word of mouth. I mean, the buzz is out there. People are telling their friends, you got to come to this. You know, we put one post on Facebook and we'll get 50 responses on there of people saying, hey, come and check this out. You got to come see this. It's an amazing event. Once they get onto the campus, again, it's caring for them and going mm-hmm. above and beyond expectation. But then we do put some things like we have the goodie bag. We put some things in there, just like, you know, a little card that has like our church service times, a little bit of information about just who we are.
Yep.
A little thing about our kids ministry, you know, come back. We have a little free gift for you when you come. Just little things like that. But again, we're not overly pushy when it comes to the gospel in that moment. We sort of believe this, that if we treat people the way that Jesus would treat people with, mm-hmm. with honor and respect and kindness and care, there's just something very different about that than what you find most of the time out in the world. And so that's very attractive.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And then once they come through the doors, then what's so cool is, and what I love about Grace is I think there's a lot of people who expect that a larger sort of, you know, technically we are a mega church because we're mm-hmm. over 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. There's this sort of expectation that it's going to be a mile wide and an inch deep. Mm-hmm. And They attract all these people. They're really culturally relevant, but they don't really speak the hard truths of what God challenges us to live like. And I believe at Grace, we do a really, really good job of marrying those two things together and truly speaking just what God teaches us, just teaching straight from what Jesus taught us. And sometimes those are really difficult and challenging truths, but I also think people are hungry for that.
Right.
People are hungry for realness and authenticity. And, and when you speak about those things in a way that's, you know, look, this isn't easy for me. It's a challenge for me. I'm not looking and pointing the finger at anybody and saying you're less of a person or less of a Christian or a believer or a follower because you struggle with this or whatever. It really just breaks down barriers and walls. And I think that's something we do really well.
Yeah, you know, totally.
We're obviously not a perfect church. I mean, we have a lot of things we can grow and learn and get better at, but that's one area we do a great job of.
Cool. Well, yeah. I'd love to kind of dive, even maybe a little bit deeper within your role. So you're family pastor. How does this mission impact you from a family ministry point of view? How do you think that's shaping what you do versus what maybe other churches would be doing on this front?
Sure. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, with kids and students is you are creating hopefully an environment where they are able to discover Jesus on the level that they're at. You know, a 6-year-old is not going to engage Jesus in the same way that a 12-year-old or an 18-year-old does. And so what we're looking at constantly is how do we present the gospel in a way at each stage of development that is going to help them be able to take the next step to the point where they finally own that faith as their own and truly are, you know, what we really want is when a student graduates from high school to be able to go to college and just have such a firm foundation. It doesn't matter where they go to school, if they go to a Christian college, if they go to a public college, no matter where they go, that they're ready to be a disciple of Jesus and continue to follow him wholeheartedly wherever they go. And so that's a huge part of that. I think, again, for us, being culturally relevant in those environments is critical. So we don't do things like a lot of other churches do, I think, when it comes to specifically to programming. Our kids ministry is very, very simple. We invest 90% of our resources, manpower, financial, into our weekend services and making them top notch. We don't have a midweek program. We don't have a full blown vacation Bible school during the summer. We have Fall Frenzy, which is a huge kids event that we really pour a lot of our time and invest into that. And so we've kind of chosen to do things a little different. We do believe in sort of the simple church model. I don't know if you've ever read that
Absolutely.
Book.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, yeah. So we definitely sort of subscribe to that idea that the more you do, the less effective you are because you spread your resources and you end up doing everything very average and mediocre instead of doing things really excellently. So we take that approach in kids ministry and student ministry, kind of the same idea. We don't have a student ministry program that's every single Sunday night we have, you know, quote unquote youth group, large group gathering where we have worship and teaching and we do a once a month large group gathering where that's designed for students to invite their friends to come and for it to be fun, but also to hear the gospel. And then on the other weeks, so we do that on Wednesday night. So one Wednesday each month is that large group. The other Wednesdays, we do small groups and we invite those kids to come back and be engaged in discussing what the lesson was, what the message was or the talk was from that Wednesday night. And we really encourage our students to just be a part of the church. If you are a 14 or a 15-year-old student, you can be an usher. You can be a greeter. You can help in the cafe. You can help run lights and media. If you have a gift of music and you're a good enough musician, you can be in the band. Like, there are ways that they can involve and engage in the body of Christ instead of them being this siloed, segregated, oh, the students are over here and everybody else is over here. You know, we recognize they do need their own time and there are certain things that we need to attack culturally and teach them on their own, separate from everybody else. But we really just encourage them to be involved in the weekends, come to our services. If once they're in seventh grade, they go to our main service. We believe that our teaching there is relevant to them. We try to make sure that it's, you know,
it's wide enough, can engage them and, you know,
Correct. Yeah. So again, that helps keep things really, really simple.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round. A few questions that we ask everybody that's on the show. Super excited to have Justin with us today from Grace Community Church. Fantastic church you should be following. What is a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking and ministry?
Sure. Yeah, I've read several. The one that really sort of just jumps out to me is Love Does by Bob Goff. And I'm sure, you know, you've probably had other people who have mentioned that. I think for me particularly, I'm a very type A, goal-oriented, like task-driven type personality. And so it's very easy for me to get very fixated on the task and getting things done. And for me personally, it was just incredibly challenging to listen to a guy who just totally lives in the moment and just listens to the voice of God and the Holy Spirit, just challenging him to love people in ways that really it's very extravagant the way that, you know, he describes some of the ways that he loves on people. And so for me, again, just personally, it's really challenged me in my marriage. It's challenged me in my ministry. How do I interact with people? It's caused me to take a step back and go, do I really love people the way that Christ wants me to love people? And am I selfless enough to make that a priority and truly live that out on a day-to-day basis? So that sort of maybe personally for me, that's been a really impactful book.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. What's another ministry you're looking to that inspires you or kind of shapes your thinking?
Yeah. I love North Point. I mean, again, I'm sure so many people say that. I think Andy Stanley's brilliant. I love his teaching style. I find that every time I, you know, listen to his teaching, I glean something new, some new piece of wisdom. I think the way that they do church there is very similar to the way we do it here. And I think, you know, he sort of was on the cutting edge, you know, 20 years ago of sort of that thinking about unchurched people. But yeah, just everything that they do down there is really, I think, is very sharp. It's very simple. They communicate so well. They communicate with clarity. And they know what their mission is and they live it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. If you get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
Man, probably Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
Maybe Craig Groeschel.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I love those guys. I listen to their podcasts on a regular basis. I know that's, you know, probably a pretty common answer as well, but yeah, I mean, I would love to sit with those guys for even 15 minutes and just pick their brain and
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing leaders for sure. Well, I can imagine being a family pastor at your church takes a lot out of you. What do you do just for fun when you want to kind of kick back, relax, have a good time?
Yeah, I play the guitar. So I love that. I've been playing for about 12 years, electric guitar mostly. I like a lot of like classic rock and classic blues type style music. So that's very relaxing. I love to exercise. I've been a runner and an athlete since I was, you know, about five years old. So I coach track and cross country as well. So I do that sort of on the side, and that's mostly relaxing, sometimes stressful, but most of the time that's pretty relaxing. I love that. You know, and then of course, just, you know, spending time with my wife. We love to, you know, watch movies, go hiking, work in the yard together. So
very cool. Good stuff. Well, Justin, I appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, emails is the easiest. Just justin@mygcc.org.
Great.
That's going to be the easiest way to get in touch with us at Grace.
Great. So. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
It's been great being on. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Take care.
All right, Rich, take care.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.